with the collapse of the National Energy Guarantee, the federal government has been unable to develop an effective energy policy. With Scott Morrison's emphasis, Prime Minister Scott Morrison's emphasis on fair dinkum power like coal, it seems Australia is drifting further and further away from a policy which takes climate change seriously. But with the federal government failing to do anything, there comes an opportunity for state governments to take the lead on adopting renewable energy. To discuss state government's role in reducing emissions and changing Australia's energy policy, I'm joined now by Professor Andrew Blakers, Professor of Engineering at the Australian National University. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hey, so Scott Morrison's been a longtime supporter of coal. Were you pessimistic about Australia's future energy policy when he became Prime Minister?
Well, Australia doesn't have an energy policy at present, and that's actually a good thing with the current government, because any energy policy introduced will be anti-renewables. And amazingly, Australia is doing better than almost any other country in the world in terms of moving rapidly to renewable energy, precisely because, given this Conservative government, it doesn't have an effective policy.
And so what role can state governments then take in shaping energy policy?
Well, the first point I'd just like to make is that Australia is currently installing about 5,000 megawatts per year of solar and wind. And this speed of installation puts us on track to 50% renewable electricity in 2024. And that also means that we would meet our entire Paris greenhouse gas reduction target in 2024 and puts us on track to 100% renewable electricity in the early 2030s.
So obviously, and we have an effective, you know, renewables plan going ahead regardless of whatever.
We don't need a renewable plan. That will happen all by itself. What we do need is fairly minor investments in storage and interstate interconnection. We do not need the federal government to get involved in trying to set renewable energy targets. They will happen anyway, and almost any target a federal government sets will actually make things worse, not better.
So what power do the states have in this situation? If it's already happening, what do the state governments, are they able to do without this federal oversight?
The state governments can do two things, and they're both low cost. The first is to identify two or three renewable energy zones in each state, and to place to support or fund high voltage interconnection to those zones. For example, in New South Wales, the New England area would be a good place to start. In Queensland, there'd be maybe two: one up near Townsville, and another to the west of Brisbane. So this allows large amounts of wind and solar to be installed in those regions because there's now transmission back to the main population centres. The second thing that the state government might facilitate, not fund, is pumped hydro storage to back up the extra wind and solar coming into the grid. Now, this story I'm telling is quite different from the one you'd hear in the media. The fact is that Australia is installing wind and solar faster than any other country on Earth.
So why is that? Why is Australia so far ahead on installing renewables or adopting them?
The couple of reasons. One is that there was the renewable energy target, which kick-started the industry, allowed the industry in Australia to become very large, which means, of course, that prices go low because thousands of people learn how to install wind and solar very well, and this includes engineers, technicians, bankers, financiers, and all the rest. The second reason, of course, is that we have high electricity, retail electricity prices and excellent sun and wind. And that means that it's relatively easy to compete with the existing coal and gas power stations. So coal is being driven out of the market. Gas is being driven out of the market by the rise of renewables.
And I mean, so you mentioned price, and in most of the talk, when people talk about energy, a lot of the time they focus on prices, especially, you know, that retail price. Do you feel the kind of national discourse or what people focus on has kind of shifted away from discussing, you know, the kind of more important issues here, or is it still kind of part of the same whole, you know, discussion?
Retail prices are typically 25 to 30 cents per kilowatt hour. And the wholesale component of that retail price is only about 8 or 9 cents. So what happens in the wholesale market doesn't have a lot of effect on the retail prices that individuals see. In the case of companies, the price that they see is much closer to the wholesale price. It might be in the range 10 through 15 cents per kilowatt hour. And there it does matter what happens in the wholesale market. Mm-hmm. And what is happening, driven by the relatively high wholesale price, is that many large companies are now contracting wind and solar farms simply because it delivers cheaper electricity to them. And there's a side benefit that they can then claim green credentials.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the National Energy Guarantee, despite, you know, as we don't have a federal energy policy, it was, you know, an important thing kind of leading to Turnbull's, you know, final downfall in that. Why do you think that energy has become such a kind of such an important political issue in this country?
Well, it's become a toxic issue, but it hasn't actually had much effect on the rise in renewables.
Mm-hmm.
So it led to Turnbull losing his position twice, once as opposition leader and once as prime minister. Tony Abbott ran a scare campaign, but the main reason the previous Labor government lost was internal disharmony. All of the rhetoric that has come out of Canberra on greenhouse and renewables is hot air, which should be harnessed to make renewable electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that the underlying economic trends are so powerful now that it's all going to happen anyway, and a hostile government can delay the rapid transition to renewables by a few years. It certainly can. A sympathetic government can accelerate it. But the focus now has to move away from, oh, can we get enough renewables? Are they cheap enough? Because we can, and they are cheap enough. The focus now has to become on managing the grid so that the variable renewables that are coming in, which is almost all wind and solar photovoltaic,
right,
can have enough storage and enough interstate connection to continue the highly stable grid that
we
have.
So more implementation than sort of like, you know, whether or not it could happen. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's facilitation mm-hmm. now. Let the private industry get on with building mm-hmm. the solar and wind, as it's doing very well right now.
Right.
But put in some high voltage power lines to really good places for wind and solar, and make sure that private companies are facilitated and incentivized to build enough pumped storage to keep a high level of grid security.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all completely off-the-shelf technology. It's just a matter of planning to make sure that the extra power lines and the extra storage goes in as and when it's needed.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us this morning and clarifying that for us.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That was Professor Andrew Blakers, Professor of Engineering at the ANU, talking about state governments and also Australia's state of energy, especially with how much renewables we've invested in.